The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Mercy Sowah. In the headlines, PPP outdoors presidential policy teams to ensure good governance when voted into power. NPP appeals to party faithful to set aside differences and unite for victory in December elections. Journalists in sub-region sensitized to measures to curb illegal migration. And the U.S. transfers 15 Guantanamo Bay detainees to United Arab Emirates. The Progressive People's Party, PPP, has outdoored presidential policy teams that will tackle priority areas when voted into power. Speaking at a media briefing in Accra, its flag bearer, Dr. Paul Kwesi Ndum, said the PPP believes in broad-based human progress that is felt by the people. He stressed that the formation of the teams is to portray to Ghanaians the preparedness of the teams to work for Ghana when given the opportunity. Salifu Dabre has the details.
Dr. Paul Kwesi Ndum said the PPP presidential policy teams have been formed around priority policy areas, which includes constitutional reforms and good governance, public sector reforms, preventable diseases, compulsory and universal education. Dr. Ndum explained some of the presidential policies the party has documented.
When we take a look at what is it that we want to happen, we want through our leadership for this country to move from a third world nation to a first world one by working with a great sense of duty and urgency within one generation. So we cannot afford to waste any time in government, and that is why we have created this presidential policy team, so that we are ready to work for Ghana from day one. So that's who we are. Now, let's talk about this thing that some people don't like to hear from us. Because when we talk about incorruptible leadership, some people get nervous. But we'll talk about it. But we'll continue to talk about it. It's in our policy document that the PPP seeks the opportunity to implement an efficient agenda for accelerated change. One that is built on incorruptible leadership, education, healthcare, and jobs. And that we will implement this agenda in the spirit of inclusiveness that will enable us to use the best Ghanaians, with full participation of women, the youth, people living with disabilities, and above all, a leadership that is incorruptible.
Dr. Paul Kwesi Ndum said the PPP believes in Ghanaian excellence as well as the prosperity of its people.
Salifu Dabre reporting. The national organizer of the NDC, Kofi Adams, says the campaign launch in Cape Coast was a success. He said moving forward, the NDC will launch its manifesto hopefully next month. Speaking to Agatha Samuan behind the news, Mr. Adams said it will be an issue-based campaign. He maintained that the performance of the party over the years speaks volumes.
I think it was a great event, the greatest to have been organized by any political party in the region. We have been holding that record in 1992, and we have once again broken that record under another very dynamic, affable, peace-loving, and great leader.
And were you surprised about the number of people who attended the program?
I was surprised. I know we have the numbers, we have the following, but I did not expect such a huge show of love. It tells you the brand JM and what it is that's going to come in a few weeks and months ahead of us as we prepare towards the elections on 7th December.
Talking about the crowd, we saw a number of people leaving the stadium when the president was speaking. Can you clarify what happened, because reports say your supporters boycotted Mohamed's speech?
Their presence there was to launch President Mohamed's campaign, nothing more, nothing less. So how will anybody move on anywhere? We had reached the end of the program. So for them, they have come around, they have seen it, they realize that the campaign has been launched. Once the president mounted the podium and started speaking, they already are convinced.
How do you launch a campaign without a manifesto? What are you going to tell people when you start campaigning?
NDC have always launched this campaign and launched this manifesto on different occasions. These two events are done separate. So if in any case, we are a ruling party and we have to energize our base to really receive the message. So now that we have launched, you know that all the constituencies will ready themselves, all the branches ready themselves. So when you are also launching your manifesto, so you know there are structures on the ground to pick that message and take it further down. Originally, we were to launch the campaign on the 7th, a manifesto on the 21st. Now it changed to 14th. Calculation is that we should launch our manifesto on the 27th. But we will check also the availability of our flag bearer on that day. We checked and saw that he was going to be available on the 21st. But with the change of date, we now must do that and then be sure that that will happen. But all the same, we intend to launch our manifesto within a month after the launch of our campaign.
National organizer of the NDC, Kofi Adams. The acting general secretary of the NPP, John Bwedu, says the Human Rights Court's dismissal of the suit challenging the suspension of Paul Afoku is a victory for the constitution and rule of law. He said the ruling also re-emphasizes the point that the party used the correct structures to suspend Mr. Afoku. Speaking on Behind the News, Mr. Bwedu admonished party faithful not to jubilate over the ruling, but work towards uniting the party. He also urged supporters of Mr. Afoku to put the past behind them and work towards the unity and victory of the NPP. Mr. Bwedu spoke with Agatha Asamoah.
It's not a win of favor of anybody. It's just re-emphasizing respect for our constitution and rule of law, and also reaffirming the principles of equality of the law, that no member of the party that bears the constitution. For us, we don't see it as a victory for anything. For us, we believe that this is just re-emphasizing and reaffirming that the party uses its constitution in whatever it did. And that is not the time for anybody to be cast an aspersion and jubilating about us. It is only for us to renew our efforts in ensuring that will keep focus and discipline.
And even with today's decision, Mr. Afoku per letter is considering an appeal, so it looks like the issue isn't over yet. Isn't the party worried in any way that it will derail the course of the party ahead of the 2016 elections?
Just as we decided not to respond to any distraction or anything from anybody to derail us from the focus of ensuring that we concentrate on our core mandate of winning power, we can't say that they don't have the right to exercise if they want.
What will make the party lift the suspension of Mr. Afoku if he shows remorse and apology? Would that suffice?
I think it's too early yet. We are admonishing our members to fix and just focus on the election. And I think that one is better.
But for those who are still aggrieved with his suspension, what would you tell them?
Oh, I think that for these people who are still aggrieved, I think that the core reason for some of these people who are aggrieved are that they think that we did not use the constitution to, or were wrong in the manner the thing was done. Now, a court of constitution decision, I'm talking to you, understand. So I think that it is refreshing for all of us to once again come round the table and what is the party we have? This is the party we belong to. This is the party we are born in. So there's no alternative than come back and work for the party.
John Bwedu is acting general secretary of the NPP. A poll, Scott Van Essen, says the NPP should resolve the issues that led to the suspension of Paul Afoku as the party's chairman. Otherwise, it could result in apathy among its supporters in this year's election. Speaking to Agatha Asamoah on Behind the News, Mr. Essen said unity in the party after the dismissal of Mr. Afoku's suit challenging his suspension will boost its fortunes in the polls.
If the judge in a case states that he knows that whoever loses the case will go on appeal, then it foretells that it's not going to be an open and closed case. So I'm not surprised. I mean, it was a 50-50 thing. Clearly, if the judge said that, then it means that whoever loses has a very good chance of going on appeal.
Now, Afoku is hinting over an appeal. Does it suggest he still does not recognize the party's structures?
Well, I think that if you look at the trend since the case started, you will see that Afoku has been a victim because he lost the Kufuor faction. There are factions in every party, that guys have said it. The factions in NDC could be more destructive than the NPP. Anything which has three factions, is more sure than two. The NPP, you either have Kufuor faction or Nana faction. In NDC, there's the Rawlings faction, the powerful faction. There's the Jomama faction, a very powerful one. And there's the most faction. These three, at any given time, you don't get three in unanimous on one side. You get two against one. That is even more destructive. But the NDC recognizes that if they are destructive, it's to their own detriment. as the difference between the NDC and MPP have been managed their differences. And until the MPP realizes that the factions in the party were not created by the election or as the media people, the pressure should be for them.
Well, so should the party be worried about this appeal that it would derail the course of the party?
Because one thing is clear. If you realize any attempt to impeach a Foku apart from suspending has been truncated in Ashanti region. Ashanti is a world bank. The MPP has been getting between 38 to 40% of their presidential votes in the last election for Ashanti and Eastern region. So if any attempt to impeach a Foku is truncated, that is a good man, that's why he's being harassed. You should know that a party levels can be real. In 2000, a party in Volta cost the NDC. 2008, a party in Ashanti cost the MPP.
The leaders
have learned
lesson. Post Ben Efson. The Convention People's Party CPP is lacing its boots for the political race and aspiring to take up the mantle from the ruling party, the National Democratic Congress NDC. It has filed its parliamentary candidates for 245 constituencies, leaving only 30 expected to be completed before campaign begins. The national organizer of the party, Emmanuel Kwabla Ogbojo, who made this known in an interview with Radio Ghana in the Eastern Region, said Ghanaians are yearning for change and need to unseat the government. He said most of the youth in the country, including graduates from tertiary institutions, are crying for jobs and the cost of living is also very high. Mr. Ogbojo said Ghanaians are fed up with NDC and MPP and should be given breathing space. He said the party's flag bearer, Ivor Greenstreet, is the only leader who can follow the footprints of Dr. Kwame Nkrumah and help improve the status of the nation from that of poverty to wealth creation. And away from politics, a lecturer at the University of Development Studies, Professor Saadi Tu, has emphasized the need for farmers to blend the traditional system of agriculture with the modern and improved methods of farming to help preserve available nutrients in the soil. He argued that the frequent use of agrochemicals and inorganic manure on crops often destroys the smaller living organisms in the soil and causes the soil to lose its fertility. Professor Dito was speaking at the launch of the NAPDAM participatory video dissemination workshop in Bogatanga. A report by Isaac Esari.
The participatory video dissemination workshop titled Tinayan, which literally means we can, was filmed and produced by community members from Damogo and Sakoti, both predominantly farming communities in the NAPDAM district of the Upper East region. The video shared the story of how farmers in these communities are using homegrown sustainable solutions to address major land and environmental management challenges facing them. It is an outcome of an ongoing water, land and ecosystem collaborative research project jointly undertaken by the University of Development Studies and the Association of Chair Development Projects, ACDEP, in Tamale, with partnership from the International Center for Tropical Agriculture, SIAT, in Nairobi, Kenya, and the International Union for the Conservation of Nature, IUCN, in Ouagadougou, Burkina Faso. Mr. Joseph Incho of ACDEP gave some insight into the project.
Previously, what we have known about projects is that ideas have been hatched from above and come and taught us the best solutions. And they have failed because we have not taken into consideration the farmers' practices. We've not taken into consideration what institutions have done that have worked well. So the purpose of the platforms is to ensure that we have effective engagement of community members and then institutional stakeholders on the project so that we can derive what they have done that have worked. And then build on that and send it back, and that can sustainably address the challenges that farmers are facing.
The savanna areas of the country are gradually losing rich arable farmlands to poor environmental practices, including water and land pollution, soil erosion, siltation of rivers, and illegal tree felling. Professor Saad Dito of the UDS, however, believe that the fertility of the soil can much be sustained if farmers are given the opportunity to blend all the existing methods of farming.
You know, inorganic fertilizer is good, but if you use it for a long time, you will realize that it cannot do what organic fertilizer does. So we are saying that the things that we left behind, what our forefathers taught us, we are now realizing that some of them are very good, and therefore we should try and use those ones. The farmers already know what I'm talking about. It is we so-called agriculturists who are still forcing some things on them. We call them illiterate, ignorant, and so on. Meanwhile, we know that these things they are doing are correct. So we are now coming back to say, oh, yes, we made some mistakes in the past, but we didn't know. Can we now go back and marry the two? We are not saying that everything that we have learned or that came from science is bad. No, a lot of things are good. We can even improve upon what they are doing.
Launching the project, Biafra East Regional Minister Albert Abongo commended the top-level researchers for exposing smallholder farmers to best solutions and also assisting them to produce participative videos for knowledge sharing and awareness creation.
Isaac Asari's report. The news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. PPP outdoors presidential policy teams to ensure good governance when voted into power. NPP appeals to party faithful to set aside differences and unite for victory in December elections. Journalists in sub-region sensitized to measures to curb illegal migration. And U.S. transfers 15 Guantanamo Bay detainees to United Arab Emirates. The chairman of the National Media Commission, Kwesi Jana-Penteng, says journalists on the continent can help contribute to curbing illegal migration, especially to Europe, if they are equipped with protocols on migration. He said among the objectives of founders of Pan-Africanism was regional integration and safe migration, but ignorance of citizens on such agreements is a contributory factor. Mr. Jana-Penteng was addressing journalists from Anglophone ECOWAS were attending a three-day training on ECOWAS protocol on free movement and safe migration in Africa. Joyce Jechi reports.
The participating journalists are from Ghana, the Gambia, Sierra Leone, Liberia and Nigeria. They will be equipped with skills to promote the ECOWAS protocol on free movement and to advocate the rights and responsibilities of citizens on issues of migration. At the end of their training, they will be in a better position to discuss key concepts on international migration and other integration-related issues. The chairman of the National Media Commission, Kwesi Jana-Penteng, expressed his displeasure on the reliance on foreign media regarding events on the continent.
Newspapers can create separate sections for West African news as distinct from world news or African news. It's unfortunate that when President Eyadema died, the coverage of the funeral was taken in our newspapers and radio stations from Reuters and AFP. Journalists and the GJA, for example, must create exchange programs. This institution can take the lead in mobilizing support for academic courses on African integration as part of core subjects studied especially by journalists.
The director of the School of Communication Studies, Professor Ojigadeku, says with partnership among media houses within the sub-region, foreign media being the source of information on the continent will be reduced.
We ought to be forming partnerships with other media houses around us. So we don't even need to go to Liberia to cover a story in Liberia if you're a Ghanaian media house. If you have a partner station in Liberia or a newspaper with somebody there, you can say, can you give us an original story? So it's how you organize your news and how you signal that people around you are important.
The ambassador of Spain, Maria Alonso, says Spain is committed to helping ECOWAS address illegal migration from Africa to Europe.
We fight a lot in Spain with trafficking in human beings. Many of these people try a trip thinking that they are going to the gold paradise, and in the end what they get there is sexual exploitation, labor exploitation all over Europe. Safe migration, which can also foster labor between countries in the region, which can foster regional integration, which I think is real important to the ECOWAS region.
Spain is sponsoring the training due to the country becoming the door to Europe since 2004.
Joyce Jechi. The Tema branch manager of GCNet in charge of transit, Jimmy Aluti, says the transit tracking device developed on transit cargo through the country's ports is to eliminate the use of human escort of transit cargo by customs. Mr. Aluti, in an interview with Radio Ghana, said his outfit about 6 weeks ago noticed a shortfall in the devices and has therefore ordered and cleared more of the device to address the congestion being witnessed at the ports. He, however, called on all stakeholders to play their part to ensure an efficient system in handling transit cargo.
It's a steel locking mechanism is provided by a company that we have contracted to provide us with the service. Now, Ghana having the sea at our disposal, we are mandated or compelled by an international convention to provide access to our sea borders for cargo that is consigned to landlocked countries, such as Burkina Faso, Mali, Niger, and others who don't have a port. What happens is when those goods arrive, they are not charged any duty at our port. But customs is mandated to ensure that the goods exit our borders purely without any diversion. So that would then be a loss of revenue to Ghana. So in the past, customs was using human escort tools, which would go with the cargo all the way to the exit point and sign off that none of the cargo was diverted. What we now do is we seal the cargo, put an electronic tracking device on it, and then make available to customs access tracking, that's where the cargo goes and when it exits.
It looks like there's congestion at the port. What is the challenge with the device?
It's actually a combination of several factors. It started slowly about a month, 6 weeks ago, when we noticed the volumes were increasing. That, together with the fact that a lot of the time when the transit trucks leave the port, they have a specific period of time within which to exit. A lot of them fail to exit on time, so they leave the port, and instead of moving straight to the exit point, you will almost always find them parked on the Tema motorway toll or somewhere in Tema, and they don't move immediately. So the compliant ones, when they move from the port, usually, unless they have some problem with their truck, will not get the exit border within 3 days, unless it's, you know, a very, very slow truck or very heavy. We have a total of about 2,000 devices deployed. Our usual turnover on a daily basis from Semaphore would be about 150, 200 on a really busy day. When we end up with trucks that are not moving fast enough, we don't get those because when the devices reach the exit point, they are returned back to Sema to be redeployed.
How is that done?
We have a shuttle that brings them down on a daily basis.
What are you doing to find a way around this challenge?
Funnily enough, the day minister arrived, in fact, about 10, 12 days ago, we had actually taken into cognizance the fact that these challenges were happening. And so we had ordered 400 new ones to come and supplement what we had before. That takes it up to about 2,200. So those ones had arrived. It had taken us a bit of time to actually get them out of the airport, different factors altogether. And so the day that the two honorable ministers were in the yard, we actually had four of them that were on charge. And we spent Friday, Saturday, Sunday to clear the backlog. It's something that will need all the stakeholders, Ministry of Transport, the Ghana Customs, GTHA and ourselves to sit down and agree that if we're going to have efficiency, then everybody needs to play their role.
Jimmy Aluti is Tema Branch Manager in charge of transit at GCDET. The news continues after this break. In foreign news, the U.S. says it has sent 15 Guantanamo Bay detainees to the United Arab Emirates, the largest single transfer during President Barack Obama's administration. In a statement, the Pentagon said the transfer of 12 Yemeni nationals and 3 Afghans brings the number of prisoners down to 61 at the U.S. facility in Cuba. Most of the inmates have been held without charge or trial for more than a decade. President Obama wants to close the prison before he leaves office. The White House also wants to transfer the remainder to the U.S., but Congress is opposed to the move. In April, 9 Yemeni prisoners were sent to Saudi Arabia. New York police have charged a man with murder in connection with the killing of an imam in an aid on Saturday. Oscar Morel, 35, was also charged with criminal possession of a weapon. Imam Mulama Akonji, 55, and Sarah Yudin, 64, were shot in the head as they were walking after prayers in the borough of Queens. Some mosquitoes suggested it was a hate crime, but police said there was no evidence that the men had been targeted because of their faith. And U.S. Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump says he'll enact extreme vetting of immigrants. In a speech in Ohio, the candidate outlined his plans to combat Islamic extremism, including a new screening test for arrivals to the U.S. Applicants will be tested to determine if they share Western liberal values, such as religious tolerance. Democratic rival Hillary Clinton has, however, dismissed the plan, describing it as a cynical ploy. Telling the news the main points again. The Progressive People's Party has outdoored its presidential policy teams to tackle priority areas when voted into power. Flag bearer Dr. Kwesi Ndum said the party believes in broad-based human progress, adding that the formation of the teams is an indication of the party's preparedness to work for Ghana. The NPP says the dismissal of the suit challenging the suspension of Paul Afoku is a victory for the constitution and rule of law. Speaking on Behind the News, Acting General Secretary John Boedu encouraged party faithful not to jubilate over the ruling but work towards uniting the party. The chairman of the National Media Commission, Kwesi Janapenting, says journalists on the continent can assist in curbing illegal migration if they are equipped with protocols on the issue. He said ignorance of citizens on such agreements is a contributory factor to the increase in the phenomenon. Mr. Penting was speaking at the opening of a three-day training for journalists on ECOWAS protocol on free movement and safe migration in Africa. And U.S. President Barack Obama has ordered the transfer of 15 Guantanamo Bay detainees to the United Arab Emirates. Moves to transfer the remaining 61 inmates to the U.S. have, however, been opposed by Congress. The news was presented by Mercy Sowah in Accra.